and I was getting worried that he was outpacing us to the point of leaving us behind, so I doubled up on my efforts. Out of the corner of my eye, I could almost make out something to the right moving along with us, but then it disappeared. I squeezed my eyes together and then quickly opened them, but couldn't see anything this time. I stared into the frozen fog, but the more I looked, the more unsure I became. Off to my right, there was something dark outlined in the curtains of white gloom. Whatever it was, it must have moved fast to get ahead of us again. I didn't have any worries that it was Willie, the mystery man, or Roberta, because human beings couldn't be that fast in snow that deep. The kid's voice came up from immediately behind me. "Something wrong?" "No, nothing." I kept moving and scanned the area to my right, but responding to some kind of movement, I pivoted to the left, and suddenly it appeared again. "What the hell?" As soon as I spoke, the apparition disappeared. Tavis was behind me and seemed spooked. "Hey, did you hear something?" I stopped, and he caught up. Now we were both looking outward in circles like prey. "No, but I thought I saw something." "Why, what did you hear?"
Breathing.
"Breathing?"
"Right."
I stared at the path ahead. "We better catch up with Henry. I don't want him coming up on those three alone." There was a thought that wavered in and out of my mind, like the shadows in the snow, a deja vu that reminded me of my time in the Bighorn Mountains a few years past, and again when I'd been stalking some convicts in that same region only 6 months ago. It was not a welcome thought. I was watching more carefully as we moved on with more conviction, but there were no more shades in the claustrophobic storm. The kid had dropped directly behind me, and I listened to him breathe and sigh. "I bet you wish you'd never stumbled onto us back in Deadwood." His voice sounded remarkably cheery.
"Are you kidding? Other than the odd biker fight, this is the biggest adventure I've had since I've been on the force."
Then he sighed again. There was a little edge in my voice. "Why do you keep making that sound?"
"I'm not."
He glanced around, but his eyes came back to mine.
"I thought that was you."
There was a noise directly behind us. Tavis stepped in closer to me.
"Do you think it's your buddy?"
"No, not from that direction." The patrolman edged in even closer, looking behind us.
"Maybe he got lost."
"He doesn't get lost."
"Ever?"
"Ever." It was quiet all of a sudden, and the only sound was our breathing and the snow crunching as Tavis adjusted his weight.
"Maybe he—"
"Shh." Something exhaled to my left. "Well, whatever or whoever it is, it's moving around out there in this storm at a pretty amazing speed."
"A horse, maybe? Or a mountain lion?"
"No, whatever this is, it knows what it's doing in deep snow, and mountain lions don't make that kind of noise." I turned and started off. "Come on, let's get going before we—" There was another sigh, this one directly in front of me, that came with what looked like the exhaust from a steam train. I pulled up and stopped and took a step back, almost standing on Tavis's feet.
"Hey, be still.
Whatever it is, it's in the trail right in front of us."
"Maybe it's a tree."
"That would mean the truck drove over it. Besides, trees don't breathe." I leaned forward, but it looked like a rock. White, with fissures and cracks running through it, darker than the snow, but not by much. It breathed out twin billows that drove the snow floating in the air like a double blast of a breathing shotgun. "It's a buffalo, and I think there are more than one." As I whispered, a low, plaintive noise emanated from my right that was answered by a snort from the animal in front of me. I slowly turned my head and could now see two more massive things to my left that swung their heads and regarded us. Four, no counting the rest. Having once roamed the grasslands of America in herds estimated at 60 to 75 million, The American bison became nearly extinct in the 19th century after being hunted and slaughtered relentlessly. Approaching 12 feet in length, 6 feet to the shoulder, and weighing well over 2,000 pounds, the buffalo is the largest mammal on the North American continent. With the ability to fight grizzly bears, mountain lions, and entire packs of wolves to a standstill, they fear nothing. And because they're capable of reaching speeds of 40 miles an hour, your percentages of being attacked by a buffalo in the national parks are 3 times greater than any other animal. Tavis whispered, "There's a herd here in Custer State Park. A big one with more than 1,000 of them, but they round them up and auction a bunch off in October."
"Including the bulls?"
"I don't know."
I sighed myself. "The bulls are bigger and meaner. I think we've stumbled into a herd of buffalo bulls, so don't put on your roller skates."
"What?"
"That was a joke."
"Oh, right."
The one on the trail in front of us shook its head and came a step closer. I could see that it was the packed and melted snow on him that had made him appear to be made of rock. The snow and ice cracked, revealing the dark coat underneath. He was close enough that I could see the horns and the broad black nose that blew contrails into the snow around his barrel-sized hooves. There was nothing we could do, and nowhere we could go. If we tried to back away or change direction, it was likely that we'd just run into another of the shaggy behemoths, maybe 1,000 of them. The big bull took another step closer, bringing him within 7 yards of us. But his eyesight, which wasn't so great in the best of conditions, was failing him in the still fast-falling snow and the fog.
"Should we draw our guns?"
I whispered out of the corner of my mouth,
"No, the damn things have very thick skulls. All you'll do is piss them off or start a stampede and get us gored or trampled to death." "So what do we do?"
"The hardest thing in the world. Nothing." The bull took another step closer, stretching its neck out for that much more of a view, and even going so far as to stamp a hoof. It was only a question of time, given the animal's natural curiosity, before he would eventually get close enough to realize that we were not part of the herd, and then all bets would be off. I ignored my own advice, and, humping my sheepskin coat onto my shoulders, I placed a boot forward and stamped it in the snow in order to convince him that we were buffalo, too. The bull didn't move.
"What the heck are you doing?"
"It's what he did. Now, will you shut up? Because I'm pretty sure he knows that buffalo don't talk." I wondered where Henry was, and then thought about Vic, safely ensconced at the Franklin Hotel in a bubble bath, but mostly I was just glad that neither of them were here to see me imitate a buffalo. The real buffalo still didn't move. It didn't seem to know what to make of my performance. Hell, for all I knew, I was asking him out to the buffalo prom. But as a rancher's son with a long history of dealing with large animals, I did know that when they get confused, they become dangerous. I stopped moving, too. Suddenly his head dropped, and I saw his tail lift and stick straight up. There still wasn't anything to do. If I jumped out of the way, the kid would get killed, and I couldn't allow for that. The only other thing to do was to charge the buffalo myself. All I wanted was to bluff him and not send all the others into a stampede that would leave us as bloody puddles in the snow, and I was just getting ready to make a bold and most likely foolish move when I heard a song lifted like the wind in a melody that was familiar.
"Yo, hey, yay, yo, 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 hey, yay."
The buffalo bull immediately pivoted to the right, and then in a full circle to look at us again, shook its head, and turned its wide horns to the right and left, like us, unable to determine from where the song came. It was silent for a beat, while the singer took a breath, but then he continued,
"Aho, otoae, netone sevehe, netone kshovomoatae, and they say, oh, they are the foolish, they hoe, the trickster people, and do not watch where they go."
The bull turned again, this time to the left, and waited.
"I am Nevoveo, Nakoe, Otametaneo, of the Tsetsehes Tehese. Do you know me, big brother?"
The buffalo turned a bit more.
"We mean you no harm, and only wish to pass through this sacred place."
I watched as the buffalo bull's tail descended, and the muscles relaxed in the beast as he finally lowered his head and pawed at the ground again, this time in a disinterested manner, as if surprised to find snow on his buffet. Another moment passed, and he started off up the slight grade to our right. I sighed.
"You still out there?"
"I am."
I still could not tell exactly where he was.
"Did I just see you attempting to imitate a buffalo?"
"You did."
"Do not quit your day job."
I buttoned my coat, flipped the collar back up, and started forward carefully with Tavis in tow. After a few steps, I could see Henry in the pale gloom, a tall figure with a leather cloak moving in an imaginary breeze. "We lost you. Where the heck did you go?" He glanced at the buffalo. There were still a lot of them milling around, and whispered,
"I was ahead of you when we walked into them. When I tried to double back, they blocked my path. I was simply going to wait until they moved on, but then you started challenging the biggest one, and I thought I should intercede."
I began whispering, too. "Challenging, is that what I was doing?"
"Yes."
I smiled. I think I could have taken him. The Cheyenne Nation did not look particularly impressed. I kept my voice low.
"Find the truck?" "No, but the tracks continue toward the tree line."
Tavis broke in from behind me in a loud voice. "There's a tree line?" The bear looked at the patrolman and shushed him.
"The buffalo are looking for shelter, but must have gotten spooked when the truck drove through the herd."
He glanced around at the hulking shapes.
"They are just now settling down and getting their bearings. So be quiet."
I gestured with my chin.
"Let's get going.
I don't want to lose them." Henry turned, and we started off a little more carefully this time. After 100 yards or so, we started to climb, and I could make out a few small trees leading toward larger copses and eventually the tree line that Henry had found. The bear stopped, looked at the tracks, and then at what countryside was visible, all 20 feet of it.
"This slope leads down into a canyon, and I would suppose a creek, whereas the embankment to the right leads up to a ridge. If they are stupid, they went into the canyon, and if they are wise, they stayed with the ridge."
"If they took the canyon, they aren't going far, so let's check the ridge." He nodded, and then frowned.
"Unfortunate. It appears to be the same choice that the buffalo have made."
"Misery loves company." I could see at least a dozen of them in the immediate vicinity as I started after our Indian scout. "How many of these things do you suppose there are out here?"
"From the movement of the herd, I would say a couple hundred, at least."
He slowed as one of the bulls, tossing its head and huffing, tracked in front of us.
"They are still very uneasy, and I am afraid that any movement or sound could set them off."
I nodded. "Just that much more of a reason to get to the tree line.
If these monsters start charging around, I'd just as soon have a tree or two to put between us."
The bear suddenly stopped and whispered, even quieter this time,
"I can see the truck."
Bunching in close to Henry, I slipped my hand under my coat, pulled my .45 from the holster, and trailed it along my leg, watching as Tavis did the same with his Glock. The bear looked back at the two of us and shook his head.
"Do not fire those weapons unless it becomes absolutely necessary."
He took a few more steps forward and then stopped again.
"As near as I can tell, there is someone standing in the bed of the truck."
Of course, I couldn't see anything, but I was used to that in my dealings with the Cheyenne Nation's uncanny sensory abilities.
Do you think they've seen us?
He watched the invisible landscape for a moment.
No.
If I keep moving in this direction, I'll run into them?
Yes. This may take a while with the buffalo, so when you get to the truck, keep him talking.
Without another word, Henry moved off to our left and gradually disappeared like a cipher.
Where is he?
I gestured for Tavis to follow. Stick with me, troop, and don't fire that weapon until I tell you. Another 40 feet, and even I could see the outline of the blue truck, and indeed someone standing in the bed. Look, we don't know that any of these individuals are dangerous, so let's just play it slow. Chances are this guy just thinks a couple of crazies are after his friend and his friend's girl, and he's just trying to do the right thing.
He swallowed. Is that what your 25 years of sheriffing are telling you?
Not really, but there's got to be a first time, right? I looked at the kid and thought that I really didn't want to be shot in the back by the Glock 40 he was carrying.
Don't shoot anybody, okay? Especially me.
I turned, took another step, and lifted my voice just loud enough to be heard, but hopefully not loud enough to spook the buffalo that surrounded us.
Hey, Willie, how you doing?
A little distance away, one of the bulls turned to regard us. The croupier moved toward the tailgate and yelled back at me,
I've got a gun!
Okay.
I waited a few seconds, just to let the nearest buffalo know that we bore no ill intent.
Do you mind keeping your voice down a little? We're concerned that these buffalo might spook, and I'm sure that none of us want that.
He didn't say anything, so I continued.
My name is Walt Longmire, and I'm the sheriff of Absaroka County, Wyoming. I'm working on a missing persons case. What do you want?
I watched as one of the bulls crossed between us, and I carefully took a few more steps to get a clearer view of the man. I could see that he was holding a rifle.
Well, this doesn't have much to do with you, but it has a lot to do with the other man and the woman who are with you.
There was a long pause before he spoke.
I don't got no woman with me.
I took a few more steps toward him. Well, then, the woman who was in your truck. He gestured with the weapon.
That's close enough.
He leaned a little forward.
Who's that with you?
Patrolman Tavis Bradley of the Deadwood Police Department. I held my free hand up. The woman in the casino who was getting money from the ATM? We believe that she might be Roberta Payne, who went missing from Gillette, Wyoming, 3 months ago.
I don't know no Roberta Payne.
There was a long pause.
I don't know if I even believe you're a sheriff.
If you let me get close enough, I'll show you my badge, and Tavis here can show you a whole uniform if you'd like.
His head turned as he glanced around. Where's that big Indian guy?
He's not with us anymore. Maybe he's with your friends? An out-and-out lie, but it was all I could think of to say. I took another step and could see that there were two more people sitting in the truck.
Look, we just want to talk to you about the woman. He says that somebody's after her.
I took a breath, just to let him know that he'd slipped up.
So they are with you.
He gestured with the rifle again.
I'm just telling you what he said before. Now turn around and head back out of here before I make you sorry you followed me.
What's your friend's name?
Go away!
I figured I'd put my cards on the table, so to speak.
Willie, you know I can't do that. I'm trying to find this woman for her mother, who doesn't know where she is or what happened to her. Now, if she doesn't want to go back there, that's her business. But I need to speak with her and make sure she's all right and that there's nothing illegal going on.
He didn't move, not a muscle as near as I could see. And it was as if he were some kind of black cardboard cutout in a cheap community play, until the man in the cab raised the barrel of a pistol and aimed it at Willie, and I heard a woman scream,
No!
Chapter 10. Willie fell forward, and another round passed through the collar of my sheepskin coat, grazed off my neck like a vengeful hornet, and yanked me sideways. I immediately raised my Colt. I'm pretty sure that one of the buffalo rammed smack into the truck. Huge, woolly animals were shooting off in every direction as I turned to yell at Tavis to stay with me, but the young patrolman, clutching his side with the Glock next to him and a lot of blood sprayed across the white hillside, was lying in the snow. I grabbed him. "Come on, we've got to get out of here."
"He shot me," he tried to pull away. "I swear to God, he shot me."
Pulling the kid up onto my left shoulder, keeping the .45 aimed on the truck, I staggered forward with Buffalo galloping around us like cue balls looking for a good strike. One brushed extremely close, and I fell with the kid but scrambled up, dragging him by his arm as he screamed. Another bull was hurtling at us, and I could see that we weren't going to make it, so I threw myself on top of Tavis in an attempt to shield him. He screamed again as my weight hit him, and I felt one of the hooves graze across the back of my head, the heavy, warm breath of the animal blowing down on us. I lay there for a second more, and then holstered my Colt, figuring it was about as useful as a pea shooter in a shooting gallery, and pushed off again, this time grabbing Tavis by the front of his jacket. It was about then that I heard the truck start up, and the billowing exhaust blew back at us from the twin tailpipes. Lurching after it, my hand glanced off the tailgate, and I could see the car dealer lying in the bed, and the woman in the cab screamed, "Deke, don't!" There were two people in the cab. The man whom I assumed was named Deke, spinning the steering wheel, and the woman whom I believed to be Roberta Payne, staring back at us with a look of horror on her face. I slipped to the ground. The reverse lights flickered on for a second, but then the thing peeled out in the same direction it had been heading, spinning snow in my face and ice on all the rest of me. Spotting a copse of evergreens to my left, I dragged the kid and pushed some of the branches away so that we could get close to the trunks and shelter ourselves from the charging herd that surrounded us. I settled him on the ground, but felt the branches cave in as one of the animals must have come a little too close to the tree. "Get the hell out of here! There's only room for two!" I fell backward onto Tavis, turned, and kicked at the thing to keep it away. The buffalo yanked its head around, stripping the branches in a cloud of needles that peppered the two of us, and I thought for some reason that maybe he might respond to a cattle call, so I started yelling, "Yeah! Yeah! Get out of here! Yeah! Yeah!" The bull, obviously having been herded in the state park roundup, recognized the call and immediately turned his big head and bounded away. I sat there, stunned that my ploy had worked, and then rolled over, taking the flashlight from Tavis's duty belt, to study him. He looked pale. "How you doing, Troop?" He didn't say anything, but he wheezed, and his chin trembled. I rolled him to the right and could see the wound in his side, the blood saturating the bottom of his jacket. "This is going to hurt, but I'm only going to have to do it once." I unzipped his coat and then trussed him up, using my bandana as a bandage to quell the blood loss. "You all right?" He nodded. "I've got to go out there and look for Henry, okay?" He nodded again. "I won't leave you, but I've got to make sure he's all right and bring him back here if he isn't." I glanced down at the kid with blood all over him. "We'll get you into the hospital over in Custer and get you squared away. You'll be okay." He nodded again, but still didn't say anything. I stood and became aware of something warm and slick on the side of my head. I reached up and felt the spot where the buffalo must have kicked me and noticed blood on my glove that must have been dripping from the wound on my neck. I reset my hat, wiped my glove on my pants, and pushed through the evergreen canopy out into the open. It was the middle of the night, and I was surrounded by buffalo in a blizzard with a stuck cruiser and, as far as I knew, no available cover for miles around. "Good going, Sheriff." I trudged in the direction where the truck had been, pretty sure that the bear must have been close to the thing when everything had all gone to hell. The buffalo appeared to have calmed down as I found the spot where the truck had been sitting. I bent and picked up the kid's Glock and then glanced around but could see no sign of my friend. A sense of dread began overtaking me. What if he was out here, unconscious or hurt, and unable to call out? What if he'd been killed? I turned with the flashlight and the .40, and could see the outline of what looked like a giant crow, the long black wings attempting to wrap close to his body, but ruffled and twisting ever so slightly in the wind. "You all right?" He grew closer, and I could see that he was moving with a little trouble.
"As well as can be expected. Who was the idiot that fired first?"
I assume it was the man named Deke. The woman in the truck yelled his name when they took off. He nodded as he drew up next to me, and I noticed he held his side with one hand. You hurt?
My back. I was attempting to negotiate my way around a particularly cantankerous bull when the shot went off. I got out of the way, but his horn caught my coat, and we went for a ride.
You should have done my imitation.
There was not much time for interpretive dance.
He grunted a laugh, but then regretted it. He poked a finger at my neck, where a little blood had saturated the sheepskin.
You are hit?
Not bad, but it grazed me and hit the kid. He pursed his lips.
Where is he?
Under a tree over here. Shot through a few ribs, it looks like, but he's breathing okay, so he didn't get his lungs. We both stood there, looking at our boots. His legs work and you can get him back to the cruiser. I would imagine that the South Dakota Highway Patrol will already be there and they might have information on this Willie character, but also make sure they check out Roberta Payne and the mystery man, Deke.
And what are you going to do?
I was still looking at my boots as he studied me.
You have no supplies, no gear, not even the proper footwear.
I'll take the duty belt off, Tavis, and you can take this. I handed him the Glock. I'm just going to follow them. They'll probably come out on a road and I'll be waiting for a ride, but if they get stuck or wreck that thing... I reached out with my left and gently laid a hand on his shoulder. That kid is hurt, and somebody's going to have to get him out of here. He made a face.
I can track better than you with my eyes closed.
I think I can follow a pickup truck. Besides, you're hurt. He cocked his head, studying first my neck and then the blood on the side of my face.
So are you. My arm was aching, which must have been some sort of reaction to the bullet that had grazed my neck, and so was my head, but I decided to withhold those thoughts. Not as bad as you, and anyway, it's my job.
He looked at the tracks leading toward the ridge and handed me his cell phone.
You need to be careful. This is an unpredictable situation. The worst kind.
I gestured weakly toward the tree where Tavis was hidden. Get him some help, and I'll call you when I find anything. He shook his head.
Where exactly is Vic?
I converted my grimace into a clearing of my throat. Room 213 at the Franklin Hotel, right across from the casino. I'm betting she's asleep. I added, you can have my bed.
What if she is in it?
Then you get the sofa and dog. I started toward the trees and was already weary at the thought of traipsing through the snowbanks all night. Come on, I'll help you with him. I paused and looked at him. When you get back to the cruiser, radio Emil Fredrickson. As soon as he finds out one of his own caught a bullet, he's going to want this Deke fellow's head and other portions of his anatomy, I'm thinking. My head was giving my neck a run for its money as I adjusted Tavis's duty belt to the first hole, took a deep breath, and studied the tire tracks, the only thing visible in the whiteout. As I'd suspected, they had followed the ridge and